Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Somehow we got on talking about chicken wings in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320.
Ooh.
And the chatty house has turned it into a conversation of debauchery.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because it's a chatty house.
Yes. We're talking wet versus dry rubs.
I had a really, really good
Someone just said Caribbean jerk, which is crazy.
Cajun dry rub wings last night.
Mm.
Yeah, they were absolutely spectacular. And, you know, you got to do the whole, break the wing.
Yeah.
And then slide one of the two bones out. And then you can...
Jesse, are you listening to this?
Eat your wings like a lollipop. Am I being flagged?
My goodness, sir.
Seriously.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil at the home studio. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is The Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And then we'll take you up to 4 o'clock. Right here on ESPN. Yeah, here it is. Yep. Yeah.
I've been flagged multiple times.
A personal foul. I didn't even know Jesse was paying attention.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Jesse Tapia, producer for D'Lo and Casey. And again, D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon right here on ESPN 1320. I know we said we were going to talk about shooting guards, but we didn't finish talking about point guards yet.
Yeah.
Because there were other point guards we were going to trade. So let's remove the big names we were talking about.
Okay.
Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, Ja Morant. I think this time last year, I would have been in on the Jamal Murray idea.
Okay.
I don't think Denver's going to move him, but let's just talk hypotheticals. Jamal Murray's contract extension doesn't kick in until next season.
Oh, no.
And he's like 50 plus million every year for the next 4 years starting next season. And I don't want this fits a little bit into the Brock Purdy conversation.
Okay.
Because Jamal Murray, to me, his value is maximized. I think he could be that level of player, that $50 million a year type of player, alongside Nikola Jokic and alongside Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown and whoever else they bring in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jamal Murray has a ton of value as a shot maker, especially in the postseason. Has that pick and roll with Nikola Jokic. Just a really effective player for Denver.
Yes.
I don't think that you get Jamal Murray on the Kings, and maybe it works out with Domantas Sabonis. Maybe he has the same kind of success with him that he has with Jokic. But I think he would have to carry much more of the offensive onus than he does in Denver. And I don't know that that's maximizing Jamal Murray. Like, it feels like he's right at the top of his bell curve right now as a player, where his usage rate and his production match. And I think... I believe that if you start adding more to Jamal Murray's plate, you're going to start seeing diminishing returns.
Yeah, I agree. The other problem,
maybe I'm wrong.
So I bring this up all the time, like how I think, you know, I all of them, like whether it's Trae Young, LaMelo Ball, or Ja Morant, like I don't think you can have them in the same starting backcourt as Zach LaVine, right? I've said that like a bunch of times. Jamal Murray, I can't put in the same starting backcourt with Zach LaVine, but for a completely different reason. I don't want two guys that make a ton of money who both have had blown ACLs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that's a lot of money to invest in players with major injury history.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, whether in my brain,
you're swapping them.
Yeah, but you would have to.
Yeah, the contracts work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we do also have, just to sidetrack us for 2 seconds, we do have some breaking news.
Real quick, before your breaking news, I want to make it really clear to anybody listening. We're throwing out hypotheticals. Like, hey, this is a thing that both teams would do.
No.
We're just yapping. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with you. The NBA has released its all defensive first team and second
team. Ooh, okay.
Honors.
Can I guess?
Yeah, let's see. What's your first team?
First team, Evan Mobley.
Yep.
If the DPOY wasn't first team, Draymond Green?
Yes.
Okay, number two. We've got Dyson Daniels.
Boom.
Number three. Ooh, it was Mobley, Draymond, Daniels. Did Alex Caruso make first team?
He did not make first or second.
Oh, wow. All right. Jaren Jackson?
No, second team.
I'm missing some obvious ones.
Best defensive team in the league.
Oklahoma City.
Okay. Who's going to make it from there?
Oh, Lu Dort.
Lu Dort. Okay.
And Jaden McDaniels?
No.
Is it a big?
Nope. It's a...
It's not a big.
It's an up-and-coming out of
camp. Oh, Amen.
Amen Thompson.
Of course.
Second team.
Did Asor make second team?
He did not.
Mm.
Second team is Ivica Zubac.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Jalen Williams. Jaren Jackson. Rudy Gobert.
Sure.
And Tamani Kamara.
Ooh, good for Tamani Kamara. I got to give my buddy Jordan Hamm, who has covered Arizona sports for over a decade now, as long as I've known him. AZ Sports 360, I believe, is the website. When the Suns traded Kamara, he was like, this is a bigger deal to me than DeAndre Ayton leaving. Like, Tamani really? Kamara can play. He was a big Tamani Kamara guy, so I've kind of followed him vaguely. Yeah, awesome player.
He's a guy
who they just found. They just got him in a trade. He's like, hey, here's this guy that's just not playing that much. We'll take him.
25 years old. He's 6'8", 220. List him at a power four, but he can play the 2-3-4. He's a guy, in all honesty, I would offer up a first-round pick for.
Except he's probably part of whatever core Portland's trying to build.
Maybe.
I would assume.
Maybe, but at 25, maybe not, you know, because they do have a bunch of younger guys.
At 25, he's super old.
Yeah, but like,
it's so crazy.
If you're NBA's a team that's building, though,
yeah,
would you listen if the Kings said, hey, so Kamar, just so people know, he's under contract this year at $2.2 million, this coming year at $2.2 million, and then has a team option at $2.4 million for the next year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the Kings and you say, hey, we'll give you a future first-round pick. Like, I don't care which future first-round pick, but we'll give you a future first-round pick for Kamara. They'd be like, they've got to at least listen and go.
I think they'd listen.
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, we might cash in.
You got an all-defense guy who improved a ton this year.
Yeah, shot 37.5 from three, averaged 5.8 rebounds per game. You put him on the front line with Keegan Murray. See, this
it'd be awesome.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, there are ways to build this thing out without, like, mortgaging your entire future. But
and this is where let's say the Kings call the Blazers and the Kings go, yeah, hey, we'll give you this protected 2027 first.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blazers go, we need two unprotected. That's the starting point. And the Kings go, too rich. Okay, Tamani Kamara off the table.
Yep.
What the Kings need to be doing here, and this is going to be tough. I'm not saying this is easy, but let's say they make a different trade.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they trade for Cam Johnson. Is there another player who's just buried on Brooklyn's bench that you go, a Kessler Edwards type?
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, throw him in the deal. And let's see if we can make something of it. Because that's what Portland did with Tamani Kamara.
Yep.
They went, oh, hey, we kind of like his skill set. Let's get him in the building and see what happens. That if you can go get Tamani Kamara, awesome. But I think the more realistic option is in a different trade, trying to just, hey, let's rope in this end of the bench, 6'8", awesome defender in college who hasn't been able to find minutes in the NBA.
Yeah.
Let's just... He's 24. Bring him in here. That's, I think one of the things they're going to have to do. And again, that's tough because it's deep scouting. It's knowing who's on other rosters. It requires the other team to just be like, yeah, have him. That's where I think you're going to find a Tamani Kamara type of dude.
Yeah. I mean, I would still chase Tamani Kamara. Yeah, the
chase anybody.
Player.
Chase anybody.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's one of those guys. So we got sidetracked on our point guard conversation, but it's because, you know, we had a little bit of breaking
all
news.
All NBA teams come out tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting.
Do we think Domas makes it?
I'm going to say no. But
I don't think he does.
Especially with
the Kings only winning 40 games is tough.
Yeah, Zubats being on here, mm-hmm. I think it's going
to
be tough.
Based on listening to different voters and hearing how they go about their process,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really difficult to be on a team that won 40 games and get into that conversation. Because, like, who are the good teams is almost always the first thing people look at.
Yeah, I honestly think that if he makes it, it's because there are so many players who are ineligible this year.
Yeah.
So,
well, and his, like, the numbers are still pretty good.
No, his numbers are great.
Yeah.
I totally agree, but the 40-win mark is bad.
Yeah, right. It might just disqualify him for
people. Yeah. So you're going to look around. I mean, I don't think, like, the All-Star voting mm-hmm. and All-NBA are totally different things.
Right.
Yeah, like Şengün, I do not believe is All-NBA. I do not think he'll make All-NBA at all. Yeah.
A couple other options here. Jrue Holiday. The prohibitive thing with Jrue Holiday is he looked older this year.
Yeah, he looked 35, which is what he is, and his contract goes until he's just started. Like 38 or 39.
Yeah.
Like
he's expensive.
And it's really expensive. Like, I love Jrue Holiday as a player, but there comes a point where, again, you're talking about a guy who won two championships now and who's been a leader and all that stuff, but how much more would you want to...
Do you
want to start over again?
Jrue Holiday is currently 34. He turns 35 in June.
Okay.
He's 2 months older than I am, and I'm talking about how old he is. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love sports. So next year is his age 35 season at 32.4, then 34.8, and then he has a $37.2 million player option in his age 37 season. Breaking news, he's picking that up. So this contract, and then you just kind of look at his production this year and his body of work, and he wasn't bad. He had a bad player, but he's just very clearly not peak Jrue Holiday anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking on that contract, it's because you're getting something with it. Like, that's,
yeah,
we want that contract and a pick, and you're going to take salary back.
No, I get you. I get you. That would be a situation where, again, like, you could do that deal using DeMar DeRozan's contract and a handful of other different types of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And that would save the Celtics so much money down the road. Because, again, DeMar's contract's at $10 million next year.
They're way into the second apron.
Well, yeah, and that means, and they're a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that if you're going to save them $25 million in salary next season,
mm-hmm.
That's going to equate to, like, probably close to $80 million in luxury tax.
Which may be their goal. They got a new owner. That owner might just be trying to shed salary. But again, if I'm taking back Jrue Holiday, which peak Jrue Holiday, perfect player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason he won it in multiple spots.
When he went to
Portland. But he's not peak Jrue Holiday anymore.
Yeah, when he went to Portland, that was the moment to go get him.
Yeah.
When he went to Portland before he went and won championships mm-hmm. with a championship with the Celtics. I also, like, I'll keep saying this. If you're going to trade with the Celtics, I want Derek White. I don't want Jrue Holiday. And I know people are like, oh, they're not going to give him up. It's like, yeah, but it depends if their owner says we have to cut because I don't want to pay a $300 million tax bill again.
Yeah, I get my I guess, issue on the Derek White thing is every single team is going to want Derek White.
Of course. It's going to cost to get him.
I don't think it's, yes. I saw somebody yesterday, I think Al on Twitter, put out a, like, DeMar DeRozan for Derek White straight across swap. And I don't think DeMar DeRozan is going to do it. I think there are going to be teams who will give up younger players, multiple draft picks.
Yeah, well, you're giving up at least two first-round picks in that trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think,
and I don't know that DeMar DeRozan fits at the Celtics. They shoot a lot of threes, and he does not. But anyway, that's a separate thing.
But we always talk about.
But Derek White is, if we're listing these guys in order, he is number one for me.
Yeah, all of the players that don't fit alongside Zach LaVine, Derek White fits.
Yes,
like he can play the one, he can manage a team, but he also plays incredible defense and would just give you like a ton. Like he brings so much to the table. So. Yeah, I'm a Derek White fan at this point. You know, I think he's learned and he's grown and he's gotten way
awesome
better.
Awesome player. Yeah. Really, really good player. I would happily take Derek White on the Kings. Okay. I have one more guy I want to talk about just because he's interesting to me. Okay. We'll tell you who that is next, and then we'll get into shooting guards, I promise. I swear we're going to talk about the shooting guard situation on the Kings roster.
Mm-hmm.
I promise. We're going to do it. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil at the home studio. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Stray Kids. Stray Cats is like a... what? I don't even know what kind of music
I know.
Stray
Cats is like a 70s band. Yeah. 70s, 80s. It's funny, though, because when I said that, both Kyle and Brendan said, Kyle seems like somebody...
Sean and Brendan.
Sean and Brendan said, Kyle seems like someone that would like Cats. And
I do.
So they're like, that makes sense. It's my bad.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's I understand that in
it was super
U.S.
late.
Pop culture that K-pop is still pretty on the fringe. It's fine. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
So I hear you talk about Stray Kids on the Kings pod. I'm like, what do you got to say, man? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, first of all, Sean's going to Bottle Rock this weekend.
Which I'm jealous. Well, love Bottle
but
Rock.
He's always gone.
Right. Yeah, Sean's a big live music guy.
Yeah, he's...
Sean Cunningham, KCRA3, also co-host of the Kings Beat podcast.
Yeah, he's like a lifer there. Like, you know, he's like the norm of, like, he walks in there like, Sean! Shout out George Wentz, who passed away this week.
R.I.P.
Yep.
All right. Last point guard idea for the Kings. How's Colin Sexton grab you? Pause.
It's just tough. My biggest...
I can't tell if he's been a victim of circumstance in his career or if it's like him.
Yeah, because he's never, ever, 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 ever won at all.
Never been on any kind of real big stage.
And I'm going to throw in another player that's a lot like him, and that's Anfernee Simon. And like he might be available as well. And so like there is this other layer of point guards that might actually be like where the Kings like kind of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the one other that we didn't add to the free agent or the trade options. And he's kind of a free agent trade option. And that's Josh Giddey. I don't think the Bulls are going to trade Josh Giddey. I think they're going to match any offer for Josh Giddey. And I think he will be a Bull moving forward, but he's also another player that you have to at least look at and say, okay, would he make sense?
Yeah, would look at it for sure. The Colin Sexton thing is really interesting. He is 26 until January of next year.
Okay.
So he'll be 26 for about half of next season. Next season is also the last year on his contract, and it's at $19.1 million. So you'd be getting a 26-year-old point guard, former lottery pick, for $19.1 million for a year. And potentially more than that if he plays well, and you can probably get him on an extension that's not crazy.
This is where, like, again, it's tough because...
It is.
We talk all the time about getting to $35 million or $40 million or $45 million in for a trade, but getting to $19 million is kind of a more difficult path.
In no man's land.
And like I kind of look at him in the same way that I look at Malik Monk. I just don't think he's as good as Malik Monk.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can score for sure. He doesn't play any defense. His shooting percentages are better than Monk's for sure. But he's not the assist man that Malik is. You know, like Malik, you tried to put him at point guard and it didn't really work out, but like he still averaged well over 5 assists per game this season. And he averages with the Kings over 5 assists a game like every year.
Yeah.
So whether he can, Colin Sexton can be that guy, I don't know. He's a 4.9 last year. But I'm really concerned just about, you know, paying for a guy or going out and getting a guy who plays for perennial losers.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yeah.
For the sake of looking at this, I wanted to look at the per 100 stuff. Malik over the last 3 years, 8.3, 9.6, 8.6. And what is Sexton?
Per 36. Is that assists?
Per 100. Oh, per 100. Assists per 100 possessions, sorry. 5.8, 8.9, 7.2.
Yeah.
That's not...
And the other guy, like...
Not great.
Realistically, Anfernee Simon, he's a lot like Colin Sexton. You know, he's not a big assist guy, although he's had 5.5 and 4.8 assists in the last 2 years, but he's also a guy who's averaged 22.6, 21.1, you know, shot around 38% from three. His shooting percentages overall are lower. I just think he's going to be... there's a possibility he'll be available. He's at $25.8 million that he makes this year that he just made. He's got 1 year left at $27.6 million. So he might be a player that makes some sense. But again, I'm not making a move with a team like Portland unless, hey, let's just hypothetically, if I'm looking at Simonton, I'm looking at Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of fit in, you know, like a Devin Carter, DeMar DeRozan, like, and then Kings giving first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way where you could fill two of those openings on your roster in one swing.
Sure. I'm not ready to commit to a Colin Sexton take yet because I'm looking at his per 100 stats over the last 3 years and they're really interesting.
Yeah.
32 points, 4.6 boards, 7.6 assists, shooting 48.8% from the field and 39.8% from three.
Okay.
That's interesting. I'm not ready to have a firm take yet on Colin Sexton.
Well, yeah.
Put a pin in that.
I would say I'm not ready to have a firm take on
Sexton. I'm going to ask some questions.
Okay.
I'm going to go ask around.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to my people.
Simons, I'm a little concerned, doesn't play defense, but he's only 25. He's almost 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're kind of in the same boat of players that it's like, if you can't get a big swing, these are players that I would at least like test the waters
sure.
on.
Yeah, for sure. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil from the home studio today. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. Let's talk shooting guards. Talked a lot about point guards.
Mm-hmm.
They even need, if we're doing this positionally, and since we've separated out point guard, we're not going to separate out small forward versus power forward. We're just going to do wings and bigs. But since we separated out point guard, I felt the need to talk about the other guard spot, the shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Kings, with in-house options at point guard, it's like, man, Malik Monk is probably your best option. And then it's like Devin Carter.
Keon Ellis. Dribble.
Sort of. Zach LaVine can bring the ball up the floor. So big-time question marks. In-house options at shooting guard, you've got Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keon Ellis, Devin Carter. As that non... ball handling guard.
I think
they have a lot of players at that spot.
Yeah, they do. And they have a couple of players who can act as secondary ball handlers and even primary ball handlers with the second unit. Right. So,
right. That's where Malik should fit.
Yeah. And I also think, like, Zach LaVine throughout his career has proven that he can pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just doesn't, it's not always his thing.
He's not looking to pass necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's actually a very competent passer. I think he had a 10 assist game after he got traded to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy that for his career is, you know, averages 4 assists per game.
Sure.
So I'm okay with him being like a secondary playmaker. But when I look at the shooting guard position, I said this to you earlier. I think you could trade Zach LaVine and not acquire another shooting guard and still be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also want to talk about trading Zach LaVine here for a second, because I think we've been operating like that's just an untradeable deal. And it's just, man, what a just huge contract. But given the amount of games he played last year and given the efficiency that he scored with last year,
yeah,
I don't know that teams are knocking down the door to get Zach LaVine necessarily, but there was a market for him at the last trade deadline. And I think given how he played in Sacramento, if there's a team that just needs some scoring, needs some shot creation, needs some shooting, and Zach LaVine is there and available, I don't think it's this impossible, man, you've got to attach four first just to get out from underneath it type of deal. And the Kings may not want to. They may see Zach LaVine as a piece of their future. But I was just thinking about that. I think I was actually listening to you on D'Lo and KC, and I just was like, man, I don't know that the LaVine contract is as untradeable as it felt like a couple of years ago.
Well, I don't think it's as untradeable if there's a way for you to get into the, if you go big game hunting.
Yeah.
Right? So if you get into like the LaMelo or Trey or, again, Ja Morant. Sweepstakes. Well, yeah, the Giannis. No, I'm not going to say. But if you were to go like chase one of those players, yeah. First of all, I don't think any of those players work with Zach in the backcourt.
Yeah.
But like financially, their contracts would match up pretty close, and it would be an easier just like, hey, let's make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I look. Like, if Keon Ellis is your starting shooting guard for the next 5 years, I don't think you're a bad team. Like, I don't think he makes you a bad team. I think he can average 10 to 12 points a game as, like, an off-ball 3-and-D, like, excellent defender playing 30-plus minutes a night. I think the Kings are better when Keon Ellis plays 30 to 35 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So if Zach LaVine were to either move to the small forward spot or no longer be there, I think you're okay at the position, especially when you've got Malik Monk, who is going to play 26 to 28 minutes a game off the bench, and when you've got Devin Carter that, you know, can at least play 15 minutes a night and maybe more in some situations. So I think that it's a really strange situation to be in, but I also know that the NBA doesn't value shooting guards like they do other positions.
Right.
So, you know, we're talking about Cam Thomas earlier. Cam Thomas,
what a legend.
Isn't going to get, he might get paid by Brooklyn, but I don't think so.
He's a restricted free agent. I don't think there's going to be a ton of teams trying to max out Cam Thomas.
No. And that's
he's
the thing.
So awesome,
you look at him and you're like, hey, he should be able to make more money than this. But like shooting guards are, that's why you don't trade a point guard for a shooting guard. Especially when you already have a whole roster full of shooting guards.
And this is where we were looking at trade options. This might actually be advantageous for the Kings. If they are looking to get off DeMar DeRozan's deal. If they are looking to get off of Zach LaVine's deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a ton of guys that fill the roles that those guys fill just in the trade market. He's not in players that I perceive to be potentially available. Like one guy that jumps out is like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Not doing anything for anyone?
No.
Two guard, play some defense. I know he didn't have a great year in Orlando. But that's the type of... I threw Derek White on there like because he can play that role. But there's not a lot of, as you go down the list of teams, there's either like dime a dozen type of guys, or there's guys that, you know what, they're probably just not letting go of them. Andrew Nembhard. The Pacers are probably not trading Andrew Nembhard.
Yeah, I don't think they have to.
No.
So if you don't have to, you're not going to.
Right.
You know, you can see the
emergence. Would love to have him.
Yeah.
But probably not available.
No, I mean, you can see the emergence of a guy like Nesmith and say, okay, like, I kind of like the idea of a Halliburton-Nesmith backcourt. Maybe that creates a spot where you could get Nembhard, but like at the same time, I don't think so. Like, that team is built to, like, they're affordable pieces. Like, they've done a good job, a lot like OKC, of locking up some of their players long-term to, like, reasonable contracts. We talked about Nesmith, $11 million a year for, like, the next 3 years. That's Man. Really nice. So, yeah.
I want to look at Nembhard's contract real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's see. 3-year, $58 million extension with the Pacers. So he's 18-1, 19-5, 20.9. And he's a free agent at age 29.
Okay.
Man.
That's interesting. That's almost identical to the George Hill contract that Scott Perry signed. It was, I think it was 3-year, $57 million deal, 19 Jeez. A year.
Just found this guy in the second round. Jeez Louise, man.
Well, I mean, he found, he's a Gonzaga guy. I mean, like, everybody knew who he was. He just, like, but they do a good job in not only finding guys, but then developing guys and giving yep. guys opportunities. That's I mean, it. Again, Neesmith got an opportunity. Like, Rick Carlisle's done an excellent job there of developing talent. And, like, look, we keep talking about Tyrese Halliburton like it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be this player in Sacramento if you wouldn't have traded him.
Sure.
There's nothing that says that that would happen.
Yeah.
There's just not. That's
a good point.
In his second season, he's still averaging 14 points a game when they traded him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, I hate to be honest, like, brutally honest, but, like, instability in an organization
mm-hmm.
Allows young players to slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
And to not
miss out crucial years of development.
Yeah. It allows them to not reach their potential. When you keep switching coaches and every single coach that you have has a different idea of who you are as a player,
mm-hmm.
that's not a good way to grow up in the NBA. It's a right. good way to get yourself bumped out of the NBA and mm-hmm. lose your spot to one of the 30 first round picks that are coming in each year.
Yep.
It's really tough.
Man. All right, I'm going to throw some free agent names at you.
Yep.
Some of these are going to be more uninteresting than others.
Okay.
Ty Jerome, talked about him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were to lose...
I'm out.
Malik Monk, okay. But, you know, if you were to trade Malik Monk, then Ty Jerome, I'd be like, okay, I'll at least listen. Okay.
Bruce Brown.
I love Bruce Brown. He's got injury issues. He's not like he's not a great shooter and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I would still probably take. I mean, I
yeah,
would
a little
take
Bruce undersized, Brown. But can defend up.
Yeah, he can defend the 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm. Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I don't know that Minnesota is going to let him go, but man, you talk about a shooting guard that can defend his ass off 1-3, can knock down a corner three.
Mm-hmm.
He's the perfect avatar for the player that I'm like, man, the Kings need like two more of those guys.
Yeah.
And he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, kind of in the same vein as Keon Ellis, right?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Different style, but like sort of in the same type.
A little bigger.
Yeah, and like would I like to have him on the Kings? Sure. I'd also point out like Minnesota's like well over. They're financially, they're going to be in some trouble this year, especially with Julius Randle
yeah,
having
free agent.
Yeah, he has a player option at $31 million, and then Naz Reid has a player option at $15 million. So I wouldn't be totally shocked to see Nickeil Alexander-Walker gone, especially when you consider that they traded all kinds of assets last year for Rob Dillingham.
Yeah.
And so maybe they think he can step in and kind of fill that void. And they've got Dante DiVincenzo for mm-hmm. more minutes. Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
It's a good point. Tim Hardaway Jr. do anything for you?
Nope.
Yeah, no, I'm out. Caris LeVert do anything for you?
No. Nope.
Nah. A big Caris LeVert guy, but no. Matisse Thybulle has an $11.6 million player option. He's going to pick that up because that's what do you think? Probably four times what he'd get on the open market?
Yeah.
That's $11.6 million for Matisse Thybulle. It's crazy.
Now, see, that's a deal where if you're going to take on, if you could get Kamara, mm-hmm. you could say, hey, we'll take Thybulle's last
year. Yeah.
And like free you guys up of that salary.
Yeah.
Give you the Kevin Herter trade exception or whatever.
And maybe run into a good defender who can knock down a three, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. But like injury woes
it
and everything else.
It hasn't worked
else.
For anybody else, but just maybe it'll work for us.
But having depth, hiding on your bench that actually plays elite defense.
Yes.
Would be really nice to have because yeah. the Kings just haven't been able to find any.
If he's your 13th guy and you're getting cooked by, I don't know, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, hey, Matisse, go try and defend
do something.
Him. Yeah.
Go do something there.
If you're going to give me Markelle Fultz minutes, you can give me Matisse Thybulle minutes.
Yes.
Amir Coffey? Question mark?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Like Amir Coffey, I'm taking Amir Coffey, especially if you were to lose a guy like Jake LaRavia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's
yeah,
a better,
same vein.
Yeah, like same quality of player.
We got to step aside on the radio side and pay some bills. I got three more players I want to run through with you, and we will probably do that with one of D'Lo or Casey, whichever one is in, for the handoff. That's coming up next right here on ESPN 1320. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I'm Kyle. That's James. Joe Brazil from the home studio today. It is 11:44. You know what that means.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
Here he is, Damian Barling, everybody. Oh, my God. I got to turn that down. Here we go.
It's hot.
It's my first time running a board, it turns out.
It's all good, man.
I forgot to make it live this morning.
I used to have a note card when we started KSFM that literally said, go live.
I need that.
Like, go live. Turn the board on, dummy. We were going, in fact, it was this week. Thankfully, it doesn't matter when you're on an intro because the music runs anyways.
Yeah.
So the way it works, if you don't set the board the right way, you could talk, but no one could hear you.
Right. That's what we were doing.
So I was like, hey, let's hype up the Keish Cole tickets right here. Put the headphones on, look up, green. Needs to be red for you to go.
Right.
I was like, immediately I'm like, yeah, never mind. We have like 2 seconds. I was like, never mind. Like, I didn't set the board live. No one would hear anything we say.
Perfect.
It's great. Like, it's a great way to keep the station on the air and make sure everything is like functional. But if you don't remember to do it, like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just dead air for us.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, it happens.
We had a great time with YouTube. YouTube could hear us at least.
Sure, yeah.
I bet. How long till you noticed?
Pretty early in the show.
Oh.
Early enough.
Early in the show or like early in the break? When you started the show. Like
we started the show. Jonathan came. I saw Jonathan. I didn't see him come all the way from the engineering room, but I saw him just out of the corner of my eye through the second window there.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, whoops. Because I knew why
he
was hustling.
You didn't see the big yellow thing?
No, I don't pay attention to that.
Oh, man. That thing lives in my head. Like, I can catch, oh, Ken Anthony's off air again. God damn it. And I get anxiety. Well, no, like, well, it is. Well, what would you want me to do? Like, every once in a while. He didn't do anything. It's just every once in a while, like, because it's very glaring, and it gives me anxiety because I know it's not us, but I can still see it.
Oh, sure.
And the amount of times that Jonathan has poked his head around that corner, and I've had to just put my hand up like Buddy Hield. My bad.
Yep.
Don't walk down here. I got it. That was me.
At least I got to it before Charlie came down.
Okay.
Because that's when I know I really messed up. If it's Charlie's the one coming down here,
yeah,
that's when it's like, oh, man.
The second you see him.
Yes, I knew exactly what it
is. Charlie's not exactly hustling from his
position. That's what I'm saying. It means like, that means it's been like,
yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been embarrassingly.
Because Charlie, he's working, he's doing his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also like, okay, I'm going to let them figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll figure. So for him to like finally make his way. But anyways, I told James and Jonathan when I left the room to pick up our paper rundowns that we have because
Which
we live
amazing.
In the 1990s.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, don't let me forget to make the board live. So this is their fault.
How
I'm viewing
that's
this.
That's fair. Have you ever not made the board live?
It happens if Joe is out.
Okay, I got you.
For 3 days, I will do it once.
Okay.
At least.
But only once.
Got it.
At least.
Got it.
Here's the thing is it's usually the first day. Nope. Got it right yesterday.
Okay.
Did not get it right today.
Got it.
Unbelievable.
Understood.
Anyways. Heck of a game last night. We're putting a pin in the shooting guard conversation. We'll continue that with the Kings tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll tune in. It's fun when there's a sports thing that happens and it just transcends the fandom of that sport.
Sure.
Where that comeback and Tyrese Halliburton's shot is just not an NBA moment, like a sports moment.
Yeah.
That's really cool to see those live.
That was awesome. That was so great.
Was there any doubt when he stepped back that shot was going in? I was so sure he was going to make it.
When it flew 10 feet in the air.
I thought it was out. I thought it was like, I missed. And then he just drops it.
No, I, I, I know what I he's going to do it again.
Yes,
like, it's the exact same play.
Exact same.
I my favorite part about this is 3:45, 3:45, 3 something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting down. We're going to eat dinner, and it's like, I know you don't want to watch this. I just when we get to mm-hmm. 2 minutes, like it's like a 15-point game. When it gets to 2 minutes, we'll
cut it.
We'll watch whatever. And she's like, no, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I mean, it's a blowout. It doesn't matter. And then I think at 2 minutes, it's like, oh, all right. It's like, I think it was at like 9, and it was like, oh, we'll just finish it out. Like whatever. Yeah. Like they're.
But you have to tell one, like if they're new to sports, you have to tell them. Just so you know, this 2 minutes is going to take 18 minutes.
So what's fun is she was like asking a bunch of questions. Like, okay, why are
this
they
fouling? This is so funny. I had the exact same experience.
Okay, so
this is great.
Yeah, why are they fouling? What's the strategy here?
Yes.
Who are we rooting for? What do we want to happen? Like,
were
this
you
is
listening
all going
to the
on.
Start of our show?
No.
Okay. So you're not doing a bit.
No, I'm dead this serious. This is exactly what happened.
This is so funny. This is verbatim what happened in my house.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what happened. And she's like, how, you know, so, she didn't say OG. So they're shooting the free throws. What happens next? It was like, well, if he misses one, they're going to, if he misses one,
they gotta
we're
go.
Going.
Yeah.
If he makes both of them, they're probably going to foul again because it's a strategy. They're up three. You can only shoot two free throws. It's a brilliant strategy. People hate it, but it's the move. So he misses and it's like, oh, okay, they've got a shot. And I said, they're going to go for the win.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrese drives in, loses the ball, dribbles back out. Shot goes up, you know, hits the rim, and there's this, oh!
That's like, exactly what we had.
Yes.
It was like this, oh.
The best part, that wasn't me. There's
Sprout
this,
went crazy, huh?
There's this very much, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so, you know, immediately now, whoa, it's a two. It's not over. They said it was a two. And shout out, I think it was Ben Taylor.
Yeah.
Just immediately. He's like, it's like.
Yeah. Two. He was on
he,
it.
He, like, there was no call for it. He was like, it's a two.
Yep.
Just, and of course, I didn't, no one saw that live. But, and then the true MVP is TNT.
Yes.
Because you go back and you watch that playthrough when the score switches to 125. And Ben Taylor's talking about, hey, it's a two, everybody back. They don't run the stupid-ass replay. They go to the still frame.
Yes.
Immediately, the still frame is up. Ty's toe is on the line. And it's like, oh, my God. He's doing the full celebration. And at that point, I was a Pacers fan.
Yes.
I needed the Pacers to win that game because I thought if the Knicks won, the moment that moment would be lost.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I needed the Pacers to win that game because I wanted that moment to live forever.
The one thing that I was with you, but the opportunity for a Knicks player to do that to the Pacers overtime was also up there for me. I feel like that would have just turned the world on its axis.
Yeah, man, what a – I'll say – and we're going to talk a lot about this in the first hour. Shout out to Ty. Like, I did not – Ty is a – I knew Ty was a good player. I always thought Ty was a great player. I did not think Ty was a guy who could be a villain at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
I did not think he had that – That's different.
Yes.
And I also didn't think he would be the guy who will take Giannis one-on-one in two different situations to win a series against the Milwaukee Bucks. And now on the road, losing control of the ball, recognizing I don't have a clean shot. I'm going to do exactly what I did last time. And dribble behind the three-point line, try to win this game one, and, you know, it's the old Kevin Durant Brooklyn line. If his shoe is half a size smaller,
You
know, the game ends in regulation. But I was really happy the Pacers won that because I wanted that moment.
I think it'll be remembered just for the shot, not even for what happens
in absolutely.
The overtime.
Yeah, like, yeah, 100%.
You won't even remember, oh, it's that tie game winner. It's like, well,
and
it wasn't a game winner. But
and didn't the Pacers, like, immediately go down, like, five? In overtime?
Did they get down by as many as five?
Maybe it wasn't five, but I felt like they got down at the beginning of overtime, and then all of a sudden, pop, pop, it was back.
They're just They're a really, really hard team to beat, man.
They have done so much right.
Yes.
Since that Tyrese Haliburton, Domantas Sabonis trade, and they went all in with Pascal Siakam mm-hmm. as their move and their duo, mm-hmm. and they've done a brilliant job of finding guys to surround those two, and for Nesmith to be the catalyst to what they did in that fourth quarter is. It's just phenomenal.
I had literally the exact same situation, same conversation through that game. And I kept going, okay, well, at some point they're going to miss a shot. Because if the Pacers missed one shot down the stretch, it was done. And Nesmith hits the first one, and then the second one. It's like, all right, well, he's not going to make a third one. Well, he made a third one. God, we got to keep the game on. Like, all right, well, they got the free throws. Yeah. All right, well, yep. he can't. They're not going to make another one. Oh, my God, he made another one. It's like, it was never a point that you could just go, all right, that's it.
We were really eager to fire the John Hamm show.
Mad Men?
Not that one.
No.
Neighbors?
Your Friends and Neighbors.
That one. Mm. We were ready to fire that up. It's like, let's just finish dinner. Let's just wait, and then we'll go. But then all of a sudden, it's like 15, 12, 9, it's 5.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Like, dang, he misses a free throw here. This gets such a... Oh, we missed the first one!
Michael, we have something here.
Yeah, man.
So fun. So, so fun.
Man. Moral of the story, don't turn off a Pacers game.
Do not.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
There's going to be a lot of this. Obviously, we'll talk a lot about Ty as well. We'll revisit a conversation that James and Casey had yesterday in the 3 o'clock hour about big money players and big money players for the Sacramento Kings versus, depth and Matt George in the final hour of the show. So
can't wait. Should be a good one. D'Lo and KC coming up next. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We are back tomorrow on this radio station at 10 a.m. ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Did I say Jiffy Lube? Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Drink water. Be nice to people.